Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Kingsway Podcast from Pastor Sean. You are about to hear a message from a recent Sunday service. We consider it a privilege to be on a spiritual journey with you. So take a few moments with us and allow God to inspire you today.
Oh, it's been a tough week, church. There's just so much going on. I have a message today that the Lord has been working on for, well, maybe in my mind, he's been working on it for weeks. In my ministry, he's been working on it for years. And I'm probably at Kingsway, he's been working on it for decades. A message doesn't just come one night. You don't just wake up and write it one day. If a message is to have fruit, is to have value, it is like something that brings life. It needs a cycle, like a pregnancy. It needs to be birthed, conceived. It needs to go through cycles, and then it needs to give life. This message is one like that. Okay, so last week, if you weren't here, I want to catch up to speed real quick on the series that we're doing about building and foundations and altars. It's all about stones and rubble and rocks that he is using to do that. And so what we preached about last week was this message here. In Genesis 28:18, the week before Terry, 2018, it said, "The next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar." We preached about Jacob and his exodus from his family life and what he knew and what God was doing to something new that God was going to do in his life. And it wasn't necessarily all because of all of his decisions were good decisions. And we talked about the burden he had on his life. And we talked about how some of that he began to treat as a comfort. He began to keep the things with him that were comfortable and wanted to. And God wanted him to remove that. So comfortable, in fact, that he began to place stone under his head. That's not comfortable. But he began to cuddle with his burden, is how we put it. And then look what he did. It said he took the stone he placed under his head and he set it up as a pillar. And you can go back and look at the original text here. And the pillar is referring to an altar. It's referring to a memorial of what God was doing in his life. And so we set up the pillars right here. We set up the stones right here. And then we preached a message that said, "Lay it down or carry it around." Many of you were carrying burdens and have been carrying burdens for a very long time. You've been carrying the burden of sin. You've been carrying the burden of anxiety or fear. You've been carrying burdens of finance, burdens of relationship. Many burdens many of you were carrying around, and we wanted to give you an opportunity, like Jacob, to lay them down. So if you weren't here in that service, we opened up the altar. We literally put the burdens down on index cards. We put them under the altar, almost like a grave, and we buried them. Did we not, church? There were a lot of people that Sunday. There were a lot of cards under there. Under the altar as a sacrifice of us laying our burdens down for Christ, acknowledging that he cares for us and takes the burdens off us. That sermon was called Rocks and Rubble, the rocks and rubble of our life we're going to build an altar to. And so that's on Kingsway if you hadn't heard it. And we learned is that when we come to the altar, the place for the altar, it's an opportunity for God to alter our place, our temple, our bodies, our lives. And he did that. In the last 2 weeks, he has begun to alter us as individuals. He's begun to bring provision into our life. He's begun to bring opportunity. He's begun to end things and shut doors in our lives and open new ones. And I've talked to some of you, I know, about either new job opportunities or new relationships or new healings that are taking place. Alicia was healed in last week's service. Amen. God is good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. So that was last service, and we talked about altar, and I've done all that to tee this up. So we talked about altars from a lot of different ways. Now I want to talk about a different altar. This is an altar that we don't usually call it an altar, but it is what it is. The altar when you go get married. You know that altar? You go get married, and you know, we have a trellis. We've done it right here, and there's a husband and a wife, and they stand before God as a commitment. And in American culture, we have all sorts of traditions that we do. I don't even know them all. And there's wedding planning, and we spend thousands of dollars teeing it off, but you guys get it. In the Jewish culture, there's one more tradition I want to remind you of that happens at the altar. Do you know what it is? Well, there's a few, so you could probably, if your mind's going on, but there's one that's pretty famous. It's pretty famous. I stroke my beard because it reminds me of my Jewish roots. A little Mazel Tov action. Does anybody familiar with Mazel Tov means? Well, it's a Jewish word, it's a Hebrew word that effectively means congratulations, you've sealed the deal. And the way they do this in a Hebrew wedding, in a Jewish wedding, is the husband and the wife, they take a glass, generally, and they put it into a towel or an apron of sorts, and they smash it under their foot. Now, it's glass because we're only human. There's, you know, we can only smash so much with our foot, and you don't want to mess up in a wedding, so we make it easy. We smash the glass. It symbolizes the breaking. It could be anything. It could be glass. It could be a light bulb. It could be anything that would break and make some noise so people can go, Mazel Tov, and they smash it. You know, usually it's the husband. It could be the husband and the wife, and it's very symbolic at the altar. And I don't know if you are familiar with it, so I want to share it with you for a second. You see, the Jewish people believe in lots of prophecies. It's part of the reason they struggle with Jesus, the Messiah. That's another message. One thing they feel very strongly about is the temple, Jerusalem. They feel very strongly about. It's why there's a war today taking place in Israel, as we were talking about with Pastor Terry last week. But that's another message. This message is about how they felt about the temple when it was destroyed. Because their temple, their way of life, was brought down. It was ransacked, and it was destroyed. It was defiled. Many of them struggled through this time after Jesus when the temple was destroyed. You remember the veil of the temple was broken during Christ's time, and then after that, the temple was built up huge and beautiful, and around 70 or so AD, it was destroyed. And the Jewish people remember this as a final moment. As the temple being destroyed, which was then ultimately rebuilt. And the finality of that moment is why they crack this. They remind themselves of the destruction of the temple and then ultimately the rebuilding of it, and that something new was happening in their lives, and they're beginning something new in their marriage. And so they break it. But church, there is a very deep symbolic moment here. We are talking about the temple. And we are talking about what they're doing at the altar. Altars are generally in temples. It's starting to come together for you. Maybe, maybe not. So I'm going to walk you through a little bit slower. Matthew 24:1. Are you open your Bibles? You can do so. King James, New International Version, New King James, New Living Translation, New International Version, American Standard, Contemporary English. It doesn't matter. It all says the same thing here. There's no mincing of words. It's very, very easy. So I used a version, I think, that was extremely clear and fits on the screen. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus Christ goes into said temple. And in Matthew 24, 1, it says these words as Jesus was leaving the temple grounds. I pray today that Jesus would not leave our temple. I pray he would not leave our church, he would not leave our sanctuary, that he would be welcome in here anytime, he'd be welcome into the body of Christ, and he'd be welcome into the temples of our living bodies every day that we breathe. Church, I cannot live one day when Jesus Christ leaves our temple. I cannot exist one day when Jesus Christ leaves our temple. I cannot pastor this church if Jesus Christ will not be the center of it. Jesus Christ is what it is all about. It is not about Kingsway of old, not about Kingsway of new, it's not about other churches or other pastors. It is about Jesus Christ. That's all we stand for, bar none. And yet it said he was leaving the temple. He was leaving the temple. What it says next is going to change our lives. And his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings. Why were they pointing out? Now, if many of you have been to Israel, you'll know why they were pointing it out. If many of you have seen pictures of today and the temple, you will know. No one knows what the temple looked like back then. But I could go on and describe the size of it, the amount of money spent on it. I could go on and describe the ornamentation of it, the various areas of it. And I've done that in services before. I love describing the temple and the gate and the incense, and it's just beautiful. It's safe to say that everyone was in awe of the temple. It was beautiful, gorgeous, one may say. People were pointing it out. Jesus, look at this building. This is all for God. Look how awesome it is. Beautiful. Jesus, wow. Do you know many people come through that church door that have not been here before, and they're already a little confused because they just drove down a dark road that doesn't have any signage on it. Then they come up to this parking lot, they're not real sure what to expect, and they walk through that door, and they go, usually, wow, this is back here? Walk in, what a beautiful sanctuary. It's easy for us to get enamored with what we see. And so did the disciples. They were enamored with the temple, as are all of the Jewish people. They were proud of what they'd done for God, not as the Tower of Babel, but as an instrument of praise and worship to the King of Kings. At least they thought. See, because when Jesus Christ came, it changed the game. So what did Jesus say, church? Well, if you've read ahead, you already read in verse 2, he said these words. Jesus responded, "Do you see all of these buildings? Do you see what you have built? Do you see what you have raised up to honor God? Maybe it is good, but what he says is, I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished." Completely demolished. Not one stone will be left. This was the prophetic, because exactly that happened about 30 years later. It was ransacked and destroyed. It crushed the Jewish people. It did. And so this was, in one sense, very prophetic. In another sense, he's making a very clear point that sometimes the stones that we use to erect what we believe God is doing in our life needs to be brought down and him do something new. He told us again when he broke the veil of the temple and he released his spirit. He told us before that, if you go back and look at the gospels, he said in two gospels, he uses these words to be very clear. He says, new wine is for new wineskins. If you put new wine in old wineskins, the wineskin will burst and both are lost. God is doing something new. And there's a prophecy over the stones of the church, of the temple. And that is what I want to talk to you about. You see, the way I thought about this is what he's also telling us is the temple was not what it was going to be. It was not what it was going to be. Each one of you are changing. Do you know that? The Bible calls you children of God. Why does it use the word children? It could just go and talk about the adopted ones. It could be adopted adults. It could be young adults. Why children? Because we all know what happens to children, besides the fact that they're fussy and they're messy and they're beautiful and gorgeous. Besides all of that, they grow and they change and they learn. And you are children growing and changing and learning to be more like God every day. And you need to recognize that you are like children. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says these words, "It has not been yet known what you shall be like." What you think you're like now is not what you are intended to be, whether you are 80 or whether you are 8 weeks old. God is changing you, church. Do you have a hold of that? And so, the temple stones must be destroyed. I believe we have some temple stones here at Kingsway. I'll repeat that. I believe we have some temple stones here at Kingsway. Maybe these stones were put in place because they needed to be put in place. Maybe these temple stones were put in place after the church began to get beautiful. And then we started sliding these stones in. Maybe they just happened because of some faulty cracks in the foundation. And that we have not evaluated clearly and removed them. But I believe there are some temple stones that need to be destroyed. That if Kingsway, we've talked about it individually, what we're laying down at the altar, but I believe as Kingsway, in order to go and become the temple, to become the church he wants us to be, to get and do the things he wants us to do, we have an obstacle in our way. We have some stones that need to be broken. Are you with me, church? If you're with me, say amen. Amen. There are three stones. There are three stones. The first stone. This one's pretty ironic, actually. This stone has been sitting there for a long time. I'm not talking figuratively right now. I mean literally. It was sitting there for a long time. And then it disappeared. But I didn't move it. So I went looking for it. I asked Miss Debbie, did you see it? Nope. I asked Brother Clarence, did you see it? Nope. I don't know where it went. You say, what are you talking about, Sean? The stone's right here. Let me pick it up now. Here it is. Here it is. This stone has this word written on it. If you can't read the words, okay, I put it on the screen. It's called control. I find it ironic that we lost control. And then I realized one night when I was going home, we didn't lose control. Somebody took control. Where did they take it? I want it back. So if you have control right now, bring it back to me. Control. Now, control is not a bad thing. Control is necessary. Government works on command and control. Authority works on command and control. Military works by command and control. Control is important. You need control. So I'm not saying that control is a bad thing. What I'm saying is that control has become a temple stone. You see, when I look up control and I think about control, I think of control is managing, it's ruling, it's restraining, it's regulating. The elements of control, if you begin to worship it, if you begin to honor it, if you begin to allow it to take over your life or a church, it begins to make people bitter because they don't have it or they want it. It begins to limit other people because they feel like they can't do what they need to do because they're being controlled by people. It makes a church reactive. We only do what we said we're going to do, and we wait until we're said to do it because that is how command and control works. It's a C word. And when I think about control, and I think about this stone that's part of our temple, the reason why it's a bad church is because over time, you know what happens? When control hangs around as a stone in your church, the implication of it is that it begins to breed manipulation. Now, if you can't get your way, you have to manipulate one to get control or regain control or to maybe control someone else through manipulation. And so I don't want manipulation or a spirit of manipulation at Kingsway. I don't want a spirit of control at Kingsway. We're supposed to hand over control to Christ. You know what happens when you hand over control to Christ? It's really amazing. I was talking to someone else about this. You know, God does not want to control your life. That's why he created free will. He wants you to respond to him. So when you give him over control, he's a gentleman and doesn't take your life over and make every decision for you. He guides you. He leads you. You know what he does? I want to think about what we're going to replace control with today. If I say, what am I going to get rid of control and replace it with? And I was on a C kick, so I came up with this. I want you to think about not control today. I want you to think about commitment. There's a difference. Consistency. There's a difference. What are you committed to? Not what you want to control. If you want to do something at Kingsway, don't try to control me to do it. It ain't going to work. I'll tell you why it ain't going to work. I don't got time for it. I can barely have time to do the things we need to do. I have a board of 10 people, and when I tell them what's going on, they make all decisions anyway. You can't control 10 people. I figured that out. So it's no worry. There's no point even trying. We're not going to agree on much. But we can be committed. If you have something that's in your mind, something you want to do, something needs to happen, you need to commit to it. You need to commit to it. What are you committed to? And then you need to be consistent. What are you consistent with today? What do you do over and over and over again? When you look at what you're committed to and what you're consistent with, now God can use that. Now God can use that. If you don't know what I'm talking about and you want a firsthand story, go talk to Matt Shelley. You probably don't even know who he is. Matt, raise your hand. He doesn't like to talk to people, so he's not going to come to you. You have to come to him. And you ask him, what was he talking about with that whole commitment and consistency thing? He has a story he wants to share with you. See, God does not readily take control of you. He asks that you just hand it over. He is committed, and he is consistent. I'm going to put control under here for a second. And I am fed up with control. Now, I can stomp on that as much as I want, and you know what's going to happen? Nothing. This is what we've been doing a long time. As a matter of fact, when you stomp on control, it just starts to hurt. I can stomp, and I can stomp, and I can stomp, and I can stomp, and I can tell it it's under my feet, and I can take authority over it, but I don't have authority over men. See, that's where pastors get it wrong. We are not called to have authority or control over men or women. I am a young pastor, so I am learning everything I can learn. The Bible does not give me authority over you. I have accountability for you, yes, but I do not have authority over you. You know what I have authority over? One and one thing only. I have authority over the spiritual realm. I have authority over demons. I have authority over the wickedness in this world. I have authority over anything Satan wants to do in your life, change in your life, or hurt you in your life. That is what I have authority over, and that is what I take control over. The rest of the control, you know what I'm going to do with that? Jesus, I ask that you take control of Kingsway today. It is your church, not mine. You can have it. Do what you will with it. And Satan, you no longer have any room in this place to control us. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't have time to read all the scriptures. I'll read them in the weeks to come. But if you read what happened in Genesis chapter 15, if you read what happens when the altar was built, if you read what happens when Sodom and Gomorrah and the story of Lot, you read what happens, it says he broke them in two. I didn't think it would break in two. I thought it would break in like 100 pieces. Now I put control on the altar and I give it to you. Amen. And I believe it. Believe it, I accept it, and I'm committed and consistent to Kingsway. Next, stone. Where is this one? Where is this one? Okay, somebody hit it over here. There it is. See this stone, this hides out under pews. Stone says complacency. It's another stone of the temple. Complacency. It's one of the reasons God had to destroy the temple back then. Complacency. It's a big word. It's an adult word. It's got a couple syllables. What does this word mean? Well, for a church, it means you're satisfied. God doesn't want you satisfied today. He wants you yearning for more, craving for more every single day. Contentment. Contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But many of us are complacent, and we don't pursue godliness. We pursue something else, our satisfy, our comfort, our own personal contentment. And what happens when you do that is you become quiet. You don't want to do anything. You actually become tired. You even at times become smug, even arrogant, because you're like, well, I like the way things are, and I don't want to change them. They always worked good for me in the past. Why they need to change in the future? Why? Because you're a child. And if you don't grow up, you're going to eat, you know, milk and honey all days of your life. At some point, you got to put the kid on green beans and applesauce. And at some point, he may enjoy red meat or vegetables. I don't know. But the milk's not going to cut it. Things have got to change, church. Why do they have to change? Why is it so bad? You know, complacency isn't always a bad thing. Right? I'd love if my kids were complacent sometimes, but they're never. So it's not always a bad thing. But here's why it's bad in the church. Church, here's why. Because it is the root. It is the beginning. It is the thing that starts and takes root in your church that develops a word that we as Christians hate, and we don't know how to get rid of it because it starts here and we forget about the stone. The word is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is when you say something and do something else. It's when you profess to be a Christian and don't live the life. It's because you're complacent. It's because you feel like, yeah, the Bible says that, but I'll do this. It feels more comfortable to do this. I've always done this, and God has allowed me to do it, so I'll keep doing it. Church, we cannot be a complacent church. We cannot, you know, I got to say this real quick. I got to say this real quick before I get into this one, before I finish this one. I mean, some of you and some of us, and I'll even put myself like this, you know, I'm exhausted. You get tired, maybe tired of church, maybe tired of the routine, tired of the sermons. You want something different maybe. And then so, or maybe you want things to be changed the old way. I don't know. But I do know this, that no matter what you feel today, God is good. I know that. So what am I talking about? What I'm saying is, if God is good all the time, then what did he do in my life? 1,000 things. God has freed me from sin. God has freed me from the burden of my past. God has created a future for me that is good, that is for me to prosper, not to fail. God has created something inside me that is a weapon that no other weapon should prosper for. God has done something in my life that no one else or thing or power or money could do. My point, church, is he has freed us. Don't create a prison for yourself lost in complacency. He has freed you. A song I was listening to said, live like you're loved, church. Live like you're loved. Come in this church and be excited about what's going on. Live like you are loved. You know, the next part of the verse is act like you're free. When you're free, you don't sit down in your pew and just sit there day in and day out and day in and day out. You become free and you allow God to use what you have. And if we go back to this one, it's not going to be me stopping you. We destroy control. It's going to be your commitment and your consistency. They work together, see? See, they work together. So complacency. Complacency. We have five different things for you to volunteer for. Volunteer. This is what I want to replace it with. Passionate to transform it. Passionate to transform it. Passionate to transform it. This is what I believe the vision of Kingsway, the heart of the vision of Kingsway, it's passion. There's passion at Kingsway. There's passion everywhere. There's passion in our pews, and you don't know you have it. God inspired passion last week. He began to birth something in your life last week. And there's passion in the church, and there are people in this community who want to do things in churches and don't know what church to come to. Kingsway is the place. Kingsway is the place where we're going to birth new passions. Kingsway is the place where we're going to nurture and parent new passions. Kingsway is the place where we're not going to be complacent. We're going to be passionate to transform it. What is your passion today? What is your passion? What are the things you'd like to do at Kingsway? Why aren't you doing them? Is it because of that one? We smashed that one. So is it because of this one? We're about to smash it. What do you see that needs to be renewed, restored, or transformed? If you see a need at Kingsway, something needs to be renewed, restored, transformed, guess who's to do it? You. There's another great song that says, oh, Lord, there's so much suffering in the world. There's so much hunger in the world. There's so much death in the world. Why do you allow it? Why won't you do anything? And you know what God's response is? I did do something. I sent the world you. If you see it, do it. Granted, people want to run things by me. I don't want you to run things by me because I don't want to be in control. I didn't ask to be in control. I smashed control. Sure, I want to know what's going on at Kingsway. Inform me. But what I want to see happen at Kingsway is the passions of those of you that are here to rise up and complacency be smashed under the cloth that is here and built on our altar. Just like the people who are getting married, just like those who want to start something new and they smash the glass as a commitment to destruction of the temple and the recognition of something new, I take complacency and I say I'm done with it. If you don't know what to do, if you don't know what to do, if you say I don't have any time or I got too much time, I don't have the strength, pray for strength. Pray for strength. Yeah, I got to say it now. I know I'm running a little bit late here, but look. Somebody sent me this week, and it's exactly what I was missing for this point. So I want to make this point really clear. The Lord has shared it with me through others, and I want to share it with you. If you have time, pray. If God has given you time, pray. If God has given you another talent to sing, sing. If God's given you another gift, use it. When you get to heaven, he is going to ask you what you did with your gifts and your talents. What will you say? And I pray that there will be somebody who sits under the roof of Kingsway, that when they get to heaven and they look at God and they say to him, I got nothing left because I used every bit of it. All of my time, all of my talent, all of my passion. I gave it all into your kingdom. It just happened to be at Kingsway. So in Jesus' name, I take authority over complacency and the spirit of lethargy and the spirit of everything that comes along with complacency. I reject it in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord God, that you would have your way and your thoughts in this church. I pray for your passion among the people. I pray for vision among the leaders. And I pray that you do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's see. See, what happened to this one? Oh, I got three. Complacency is smashed in Jesus' name. I put it on the altar and I offer the sacrifice as Jacob did, as Abraham did. I no longer want to see it. I no longer want to talk about it. I no longer want to think about it. I want to hear passion to transformation. What I got left, church? I don't know. What could possibly be left? Well, it's probably a C word. Pastors love that. I don't know. It's not like I try to do it that way. But I look around the church and I say, what is it? What is it? It's maybe a more subtle rock. Maybe one that's disguised. Because you know what we can do with rocks? You can paint them. And they start looking like other rocks. And they look okay. You look, that rock fits there. It serves its purpose. Okay, I get it. But this rock, when I inspected it a little closer, I realized, somebody may tell me this rock's supposed to be here. But as I look in Scripture, as I pray about what the Lord has for Kingsway, I realize this rock is hiding out with the rest of it, and it shouldn't be here. Now, this one is going to get some of you a little bit unsettled, so I need you to bear with me here. Oh, there it is, sitting up here. Oh, there it is. How are you? How are you, Temple Stone? I'm Pastor Sean, and I'm about to take authority. Here we go. This rock, here it is. Probably can't read that word. That's okay. I'll put it on the screen for you. Conformity. Now, I know there's some of you right now that know exactly what I'm talking about. You'll say, well, doesn't the Bible say that you should not conform to this world? Sure. So you say, that's of course what he's talking about. He's talking about not conforming to the world. So our church shouldn't be like the world. Our church should be separate from the world. Our church should have nothing to do with the world. Great. Then who are we going to have in it? Sure, I'll do things like the Hebrew people did back in the synagogue. I can do it that way. Sure, I can. I can be so, as Terry said, heavenly minded and no earthly good. Sure. Sure, that's a possibility. I reject that in Jesus' name. Let me tell you what I think about this. When I think about conformity, I look up this word and I say, what this really means, not necessarily spiritually, but just what it means is, it's a concept of imitation. It means to take something else and do just like that something else. It means to follow. It means to be traditional. It means to follow in that tradition of it. Now, quickly, just so we're all straight here, if we're going to conform to anything at all, it is the life of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to follow him. We're supposed to give him control. We're supposed to give him our passion. He is supposed to lead us and guide us, and we're supposed to be like him. But again, Jesus doesn't describe that as conformity. Never once, not once, he describes that as a relationship. Don't get it twisted. Conformity is what the Pharisees did. And they begin to give you laws. They begin to give you notes on what you should wear, on how long you should pray, on when you should work to be more like God. And they came up with laws after laws after laws that you should conform to. 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, put them in a scroll and shook them in front of Jesus and said, you are not the Son of Man because you do not follow our law. And Jesus Christ says, come in, I do not conform to your law, even though it is God-honoring, because I am the new law, and he broke it in Jesus' name. That's the Jesus I know. You may not like it, but that's the Jesus I know. And he broke up conformity. What else did he do? It is, oh man, when I think about this one, it starts to get my blood boiling. Why? I'm not talking about spirituality for a second. Let me tell you what else conformity does. Let me tell you, it eliminates diversity. And I cannot stand that. God is an omniscient God. God is an omnipresent God. God is an omnipotent God. He is all three of those things, all powerful, all knowing, and he's everywhere. But the God I serve is an omnificent God. That word's a weird word. You may not know that word. You look that word up, it says he's an all-creative God. The God with all power and can do all things would be no use to me unless he did something new. He is a God who does something new every single day. He created each and every one of you, and you are very different than the one sitting next to you. He created you differently, and he creates the billions and billions of people differently. He creates and creates and creates. He is doing something new and diverse every day. And his people represent that diversity. And if we conform to what we look like and the people we like and want to be around, we will eliminate diversity. Diversity of race. Diversity of thought. diversity of generations, diversity of culture, diversity of preferences. This is what makes the world great. And many will tell you it's what makes America great. And you'll have a conversation about all of this on the news, and I'm not here to tell you what I think about any of that. But what I am to tell you is when I hear that, I hear some words that are spit out, and they drive me crazy. And it's not by one side or the other side. It's not a political thing, but it's a word I've had an issue with for a long time, because conformity, to me, is the real problem. You see, there's a word you'll hear a lot that's a lot like conformity, but I think they got it twisted. The word you hear a lot, people love to spew the word tolerance out. And some people don't like Christians because they say they're intolerant. And this is a paradox, another big word. But anybody who's saying we need to be tolerant and then complains that we're not is in effect intolerant. In other words, we should accept everybody but you, the intolerant people. Well, so, but you with anybody else. It could be the Christians. It could be this culture or that culture. It is in effect intolerant. Tolerance is not the problem. The problem is conformity. That is what we don't want to get around. We want diversity. It is okay to be intolerant. I'm intolerant with my children behaving a certain way. I am intolerant with sin in my life. I am intolerant with Satan having any rule in my life. Intolerance is a necessity of spirituality. Conformity is not. Do you see the difference? So what do we replace conformity with? Must be a C word. So I asked the Lord, Lord, what do we do? And he shared a word with me that we've been talking about forever. Connect and accept. Conformity creates barriers. It eliminates connection. And I'm asking you, are you connected with others today? Are you connected with change today? If you are not connected with others or change, you need to consider what you're connected with today. Kingsway will be a place of change. It will change people's lives because Jesus Christ changes lives. He is in the business of changing lives. Part of the reason why some of us don't see that is because Kingsway, as of late, hasn't been in the business of changing many lives. What do I mean by that? Well, sure, by all means, we are committed to changing all your lives. But last time I checked, there's only about 100 of you, and today there's far less than that. This community has got far more than 100 people, and there are far more than 100 people in this community that need their lives changed. And Kingsway needs to get out of our mindset of only changing the couple people that show up on our door. We got to get in the mindset of realizing that Jesus Christ can change lives. We need to connect with them and begin to allow Jesus to do his will through you. Are you accepting them? Are you accepting what's taking place at Kingsway today? Are you accepting what's taking place in this world today? Are you accepting the fact that people need help and they are not perfect and they don't have it right? Even your pastor, I do not have it right. I do not get it right. I do not understand it all. And next year I may preach something else that says I've learned from what I've learned from this year. But right now this is the way I feel. This is what the Lord is speaking to me. Can you accept what is not like you? Can you? So, conformity. The Bible says to be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not conform to this world. And any of the thoughts that you have, because your thoughts are not his thoughts, your ways are not his ways. And we are to be committed, and we are to be consistent about prayer and about what he has in our life. And we are not to be complacent about it, but we are to be passionate about what he inspires us to do. And when he inspires us to do something, we are not to sit on our laurels and wait for somebody to tell us what to do, because we've already destroyed that one. Instead, we are supposed to connect with God's people, with God's purpose and his power, and allow him to do something in your life. And so in Jesus' name, I reject conformity today. First and foremost to the world, Father God, I am not trying to put on any service that appeals necessarily to that what the world is asking me to do. Father, I am merely trying to reach the lost. Father God, I pray that you would send the fruits of our labor to this church that we may pour into them in any way, shape, or form. Father God, I ask you to send us the brokenhearted. I ask you to send us those that are struggling in their marriage. I ask you to send us those that are struggling in their family or in their finances. crisis. I ask you to send us those that are struggling with addiction today. Father God, I take command over those demons in their lives. And Father God, right now, this moment, I do not conform to any type of King's Way. I do not conform to the King's Way of old. I do not conform to a King's Way that somebody else is trying to say we need to be. I do not conform to any King's Way because it's not about King's Way. It is about you, Lord God, Jesus Christ. And I ask right now, if we conform to anything at all, it would be you. But you don't ask to conform, you ask to connect. So Father God, allow us to connect to you here and this moment in a way that we have never felt before. And as I smash this rock, Father God, I pray that all of the tradition that is not supposed to be here would go along with it. In Jesus' name, amen. It broke. I was really going to be worried if I hit it and it didn't break. Then somebody was going to tell me something, I'm sure. Thank you, Jesus. I believe a new thing is happening. But church, please don't misinterpret that. A new thing does not need to be that we are going to reject Jesus Christ, that, you know, we're going to sing a different way. I like the way we sing. You may not. Some people like, some people don't. Some people ask me, well, Pastor Sean, why do we turn the lights down? I don't like when the lights are down. Really? Where are you going? You're supposed to be standing there, sitting there, praying. It's a lot easier to pray when the lights are down. It's why you close your eyes. That's not why we turn the lights down. And we certainly don't turn the lights down because we want to be like any type of other event or something that the world would consider a concert or anything like that. That's not the intention. We turn the lights down because first we want you to focus on Him, not what's on the stage and not who's next to you. Second, this church is beautiful and you hardly recognize it. You ever looked up at these stained glasses? The Lord shines His light in on us. That's the light I want. Not these incandescent balls that cost me way too much to turn on every Sunday. So maybe I save a couple bucks and I allow the Lord to bless you. You see, there's a purpose in everything we do. Everything, every decision that is before you at Kingsway has been prayed over, argued over, debated over, looked in scripture over, and decided over. There has not been a single thing at Kingsway that has happened outside the order of scripture. Not a single thing. Even the lights. But when I say God is doing something new, I believe He's going to send us people. I believe He's going to allow us to build His church. He is going to build something new. Kingsway 2.0. That doesn't mean destroying the old Kingsway. It means building it on the rubble that Kingsway was. How are we going to do that, church? Well, we destroyed the rocks. We've laid our burdens down. People are being freed. People are being impassioned. What are we going to do next? I have one last ask for all of you. Would you stand with me? This won't take but a moment. I look around the world and I look at what they conform to. I look at how they take on challenge. And I can see how when you take on challenge, when you create something new, you can do it in a way that would ostracize you, isolate you, in a way that would not be fruitful. I don't want to do that. In sports, this happened all over America recently. And in sports, a bunch of people got together and said, we want to show that we are unified for a cause. Forget the cause for a second. The way they decided to show this cause of how they were unified was a way that's been done in centuries and centuries and centuries. It's how we create a wall of people. It's how we come together and say that we are doing this together. It looks something like this. These men are standing arm by arm, side by side. Now, they're athletes. The military does this. Our government does this. Our schools do this. Our families do this. It's another fancy way of saying group hug. Togetherness is what I see when I look at these people. Unity is what I see when I look at these people. Focus is what I see when I look at these people. This is how you build your temple. With each one of us our temples built side by side, lockstep in lockstep, stone by stone, connected and accepted, passionate and transformed, committed and consistent. Can we be this church? So what I want to do in this moment is I want to invite you down to the altar. I'm not going to pray for you. We did that last week. We did that the week before. This is not about an individual prayer. This is about a corporate movement. It's about a stand. It's about standing up for what you believe in, Jesus Christ and this church, Kingsway Christian Center. It's what you believe that God is doing something by paving our road, by allowing us to put on our lights, by heating this building. Will you stand with me? And I'm going to ask you in a moment to come down here to altar, and I'm going to ask you to join arms and lock step across here. And when you do it, I am not going to lead us in prayer for each one of you, but each and every one of us, we're going to look at this altar, we're going to look at this rock, and we are going to pray against control. We're going to pray against complacency. We're going to pray against conformity. And I want you to look in your life and think if there's any area in your life that needs to be adjusted, I'm going to pray that you adjust it at the altar today. Corporately, all together. Can we do it, church? If we can, join me. If we can, join me. Thank you, Jesus. Now you're going to have to get close, and that's the point. No one behind, no one in front, everyone, arm in arm. That's it. There it is. That's it, arm in arm. And don't look for the person you really like and just hug them. Whoever's standing next to you, arm in arm. Arm in arm. Join up. Join up. You see, church, if you're wondering, this is what God means. Church, this is what it means when the Bible says what Satan means for evil, God can use for good. It's what it means when he says he can use you without you even knowing him. These men don't realize that they'd be standing in front of a church today. These men didn't stand up there and think that the call they'd be for was unifying a church on Kingsway Christian Center, 7401 Gum Spring Road. They had no idea that they'd be on screen talking about what God is doing in their life. And some of them are deep, devout Christians, by the way. You may not know them. That's okay. Look them up. Some of these men give millions to the church. Some of them may not agree with us or not agree with you. I don't care. The point is they are standing in unity for something that is important. And what is important right now, church, is that we stand together against all the things that have held us back. We've anointed this altar. We've prayed over this altar. We've put everything on this altar. And now we ask God to change our lives to be Kingsway Christian Center. And I want everybody to pray. You can pray out loud. You can pray quiet. You can close your eyes. You can face the altar. I want you to pray for your life and how it fits into Kingsway Christian Center and what you can do. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we pray as a church. Hear the prayers of your people, Father God. We pray arm in arm to be your church, to be your glory, Father God. We worship you, Father God. We honor you, Father God. We ask, Lord God, that you use us, each and every one of us, Father God. Use our talents. Use our abilities. Birth it inside of us, Father God. Resurrect our spirit, Father God, for your calls, for your will, for your power. Father God, do something. We need you to do it, Father God. For those, Lord, who do not know where they fit, let them see right now that they fit, that they are part of this chain. They are part of this cause that is Christianity, that is Jesus Christ, that is your movement, that is that what they call charismatic. Lord, I don't care what label they give it, but Father God, I tell you right now, we are committed and consistent to you. We want to connect to your glory, and we accept your will in our life, Father God. And now, impassionate us, Father. Impassion us to something, Lord, anything that is for your glory and your honor. Allow Kingsway to be that place, Lord, where we honor you. Lord, we reject right now control. Lord, we reject it, and we give it over to you, Father. All of it is in your hands. Father, we reject, Father, complacency. Lord, give us the energy and strength to do what we don't have the strength to do. God, Father God, in order to do that, I ask that you inspire us with new ideas. And Father God, right now, we come against conformity. Father, there is no predetermined way this should look. There is no predetermined way, Father, we should do this thing. We ask that you would give us your will, a glimpse of your vision, that we may lead these people, Father God, and we may grow this church. Do it, Father God. Do it, Lord, in each and every soul, each and every heart right now. Let them know, Lord, that they are here for a purpose today. This was not by accident. And whether my words speak to them or yours, Father God, I ask that you change lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We at Kingsway hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Sean. It was not by chance you listened to it. God is speaking to you. Visit kingswaycc.org to find the podcast from Pastor Sean. We pray today that this somehow inspired you to draw closer to God and to connect with His people, His purpose, and His power. God bless you.